He's got a beautiful backswing.
Dad, oh, he got all of that one.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the 73rd Hole. Colby Powell, Taylor Williams with you on this Tuesday morning as we prepare for a World Golf Championship event. 550 FedEx Cup points on the line this week for the winner. Webb Simpson, Sung Jae Im, Bryson DeChambeau could all displace Justin Thomas at the top of the FedEx Cup rankings with a win this week. And how fitting that all these FedEx Cup points are on the line at the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational. So FedEx is the sponsor. We got the FedEx Cup points on the line. Big tournament this week. Brooks Koepka, the defending champion. No Tiger Woods in the field this week, Taylor. A little disappointing not to see Tiger. You kind of understand why. The playoffs are coming up. PGA Championship next week. He put out a tweet this past Friday saying that he wanted to be there. But honestly, right now, the most important thing is him making sure that his body is right for that stretch where he's going to play the PGA Championship. And then hopefully three consecutive weeks for the tour playoffs. And then you got Winged Foot coming up in September. So a lot of golf coming up for Tiger in the very near future. Really unfortunate that we won't see him this week, but we're going to see a lot of him real soon. So don't fret, Tiger fans. He'll be out there soon, and we're going to get a lot of golf from Tiger coming up. But none this week in Memphis. You think if it was still in Akron, he'd have played?
You know, I was thinking the same thing, and it is a curious question. I think it's a telling sign. We saw similar to Riviera like we saw at Memorial. It seems like right now his body can't hold up for four rounds, and until he's able to do that, I don't know if he needs more tournament competition or if he needs more rest. There can be two sides of that coin. And if he feels like this is what is right for him to have the best chance to win at Harding Park, then absolutely go for it. But I think that, especially before this corona and before the season halted and all that stuff, I really like Tiger's chances at Harding Park because he had a good record there. He had won the WGC there, had a really good President's Cup when it was held there.
5-0. 5-0 at the President's Cup in 2009.
One of the best club twirls of all time.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's...
Google it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's one of the more famous ones.
Podcast description wouldn't do it justice. Google it.
No, it doesn't. And it's just because the shot was phenomenal, too. So if he's doing what he feels is right, then go for it. But I it definitely hurts. I don't like his chances near as much next week, knowing that the only tournament experience he's had in about 7 months is at the Memorial, which he couldn't stay healthy for all 4 days, which was a pretty disheartening thing on Friday. But the fact that he was able to get through the weekend was fairly positive. Kind of figured he wouldn't play this week, but yet it's still a very stacked field, and there's a lot of guys who will have a chance to win. It's going to be... I don't think it'll be as strong a field as the Memorial was strength of field wise, but it's going to be very close.
Yeah, it's a loaded field. 45 of the top 50 players in the world, the top 8 in the official world golf rankings, and I just pulled this shot up on YouTube. I had to watch it after we talked about it. 18th hole, 2009 President's Cup in foursomes. 18th hole, and I mean he just stripes it, walks after it, club twirl. Oh, I mean, it was incredible on the 18th
hole.
It was
so sexy.
And just the swag to know as soon as that ball left the club face that he'd hit it inside 10 feet. I mean, as soon as it left the face, he knew, okay, I just sealed the match on 18.
Yeah.
It's
so good. And anytime he does club twirl, you know it's just going to be a good shot. I don't think I've ever seen him club twirl and then not end up good. Because that's, for anyone who tries a club twirl, that is one of the more embarrassing things when you do club twirl and ends up like flying over the green or end up short spinning back off. So you don't want to do that, Tiger. I don't think I've ever seen him do that. But
that's like yelling go in on a par three and you airmail it, you hit the wrong club, you got 50 feet coming back down the hill.
Yeah, it's like, come on, dude. But nevertheless, back to the tournament. Obviously, us Tiger fans want to see Tiger as much as we can. As long as he's able to play the major championships, that's really what's most important, is because if he's able to get to Jack's record, he will pass Sam Snead 82, so it's not even a debate. 19 is the chase, so whatever he needs to do to get to there, let's go for it. I just hope that he can get his body figured out to where he's going to be able to stay healthy for a little bit, but at the same time, he's not, you know, his, like we talk about all the time, he believes in the process and doing it. So I don't know if he feels like his second tournament in 8 months if he's going to be able to feel like that he can win a major championship. It's a question, and I don't necessarily like his chances next week, but I hope that I'm wrong. I really do.
Yeah, there's so many guys who are playing such great golf right now, so it's really hard to pick a guy who we haven't seen play much golf at all. You know, he looked pretty good in round one at the Memorial. Obviously, the back really flared up on him on Friday, and he didn't really have much going. But no Tiger Woods this week in Memphis. We will see him next week at the PGA Championship in Harding Park. I mean, unless something goes very, very wrong.
Oh, yes, he will be.
He's in the field at the PGA Championship.
It'll be Armageddon if he's not playing.
Backmageddon for Tiger Woods is the only way he does show up in San Francisco. So defending champion Brooks Koepka. Taylor, we talked about it yesterday on our recap of the 3M. Gained 5 strokes on the field tee to green on Thursday and Friday in Minneapolis, and yet did not make the cut. He putter, you know, missing a bunch of those 3 to 5 footers. Chipping isn't really there. I don't know that the knee is a big problem. You know, if the knee were a problem, why would he play the 3M? Wouldn't make sense. I understand why you play the majors. Are you really teeing it up in the 3M? And the Travelers a few weeks ago, if your knee's really bothering you. So I don't know that that's the problem, but a guy who we always see show up for the big events, this is a big event, World Golf Championship, where he's the defending champion. What are your expectations for a Brooks Koepka that is not playing like the Brooks Koepka we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years?
Well, I mean, we look at it right here. You know, we're big on our on the odds, on Vegas odds. He's all the way. I'm looking here, the odds I see, he's 33-1. Defending champion in a top 5-10 player in the world, and he's 33-1. I mean, that goes to show you how they think of his evaluation. And
that's some value if you think he only cares about the big events.
That definitely is some value for sure. I mean, we mentioned, I think, what tournament a few weeks ago when he was like 25-1, and we're like, oh, we'll never be able to get Brooks Koepka at that value. Now he's even higher than that. So I think it would be a decent, like you said, it is good value. But there's, I have to count the names here. It looks like there's about 12 to 15 guys that have better odds to win than Koepka, and that's pretty telling for a guy who has such a good track record here and who is the defending champion.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It'll be really interesting to see what Brooks Koepka brings to the table this week. Some of the other guys in this field, Phil Mickelson has had a lot of success at this course in the past, a lot of top 10s, top 5s here, but he's really just not playing very good golf right now. So Phil the Thrill, it's a risk-reward on Phil. He can absolutely pop because he loves this course. You know, we've seen some good golf at times. Was it the Travelers where he was tied for the 36-hole lead?
I think so. It was. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and ended up finishing like T22 or something like that. We've got John Rahm coming off the win at the Memorial.
New number one in the world now.
Yeah.
First start is number one.
Yeah. Victor Hovland, first start in a WGC event. Guy who was playing really great golf before the break. So it's one of those tournaments where it's kind of like the Memorial. There are so many great players in the field this week. 45 of the top 50 in the world. It really is tough to handicap and figure out who's going to have their A game. You know, I joked yesterday, we guarantee we won't give you any players that are going to miss the cut this week. Obviously, WGC is a no-cut event, and I think that bodes itself well the week before a major because everybody knows they get to go get 4 competitive rounds in. You don't have to worry about missing the cut and then trying to find it in the week off. You get 4 days to try to find it and make sure your game is exactly where you want it to be going into the PGA Championship. So I think that the scheduling here, the way it worked out, I think this is a pretty good spot for Memphis to land this big of a field.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's kind of funny because before, when it was just a regular tournament, it was the week before the U.S. Open traditionally, which is why a lot of players don't have a track record here necessarily, because it was at Firestone for numerous years where Tiger would always win. And so for it to be at that, you know, for it to be able to draw this field even the week before a major is still really good. Obviously, we mentioned Tiger's not playing, but all these great names that are playing is fantastic. I mean, we could just go through them. I mean, obviously, DeChambeau's been the hot topic since he come out big Bryson and just hitting these bombs. And then the ruling last week that we talked about, Justin Thomas in the field, a couple other guys, Schauffele, Cantlay, Webb Simpson, who's number 5, had a chance to go number 1 in the world at the Memorial had he won, and had Rory played worse. I obviously just mentioned Rory's in the field. Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Finau, who we talked about yesterday on the show, who's getting it done. I mean, the field's loaded. There's no doubt about that. So any of these guys can come out and do it. And even guys who are cheaper down in draft, Kings are still really good players and can go out there and get hot at any moment.
You know a guy who flies under the radar, just like week in and week out, you never hear much about him, but all the dude does is top 10? It's Patrick Cantlay. Patrick Cantlay's got the fifth best odds to win this week at 18-1 behind only Rom, Rory, Bryson, and JT. I mean, the dude is just he's consistent. He's not flashy. Nothing that he does, you know, he's not doing what Bryson's doing. He's not a guy who wins four or five times a year, but he just goes out every week. He shoots 67 or 68 nearly every day, and he's in contention on the weekend. So I'd have to say look at Patrick Cantlay as a guy who could potentially pop and win this weekend.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you 100%. And it seems like the only time he plays bad is when I pick him in the one and done, and he's in the top five on Saturday and ends up finishing 32nd or whatever it is. So the only thing that can hold Cantlay back is me picking him in the one and done. So, but
the,
no,
the
he's
kiss of death, as we call it.
It really is. And I remember when we were, after our senior year of high school, they had the Nationals, NCAA Nationals up at Carson Creek, and we went up and watched, and the group that we followed was Peter Uihlein, Bud Cauley, and Patrick Cantlay was in the group. And so we watched him around.
We watched Taylor Gooch a little bit, too.
Oh, I mean, yeah, we watched all the players.
We were there all day.
Trey Mullinax, some other good players.
Wasn't Trey Mullinax the guy we watched make a 9 on his opening hole?
Made 9, number 10 at Carson, straight into the wind. I mean, 490 or whatever, extremely hard hole.
He lost 3 balls off the tee and ended up making a 9.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's such a fickle game. But I mean, Cantlay's just such a fabulous player, and I definitely like his chances this week. And, you know, like I said, fifth best odds. And I there's a lot of guys on here that it's hard to I would pick over Cantlay just because he has such good form, and really, like you just mentioned, he's so consistent. And it's like we mentioned, you know, back in the past when Kuchar would make all of his cuts and he would just be a cut making machine, and Cantlay's just kind of getting to where that he's to where that point, but he's also finishing really high in these events too, the majority of the time that he plays, unless I pick him.
Okay, so it's funny, I was about to ask you who you like more this week, Patrick Cantlay or Webb Simpson, and then I went in, I'm on my bookie right now looking at the match betting. You can bet 72 hole match betting, just mano a mano, head to head, and they actually have Patrick Cantlay and Webb Simpson paired here as a match bet. You've got to lay -120 on Cantlay. It's even money on Webb Simpson. Where would you put your money there if I forced you to bet that head-to-head matchup between Cantlay and Simpson?
I think even the -120, I think I'm running Cantlay out there.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I know Webb's a good player, and I've been fabulous. He did miss the cut at the Memorial, his last start. I don't know if it was the pressure of knowing that maybe he could get to world number one in the world that did it. He's been playing well, so year.
He's really figured out how to win.
He has. He's very clutch coming down the stretch. Just a matter of if he can get in position and do that. I personally just like Cantlay's chances. He finished... had a pretty good finish here last year. I believe he finished
12th,
and then
year.
But Webb also finished. Webb finished, I think, solo second here last year. And then he's been a hit or miss guy at this course. He had a miscut in 2015, finished third in 2014, did not show in 2011, 29th in 2010, then in 2009 missed the cut. So he is definitely a hit or miss guy. So if he hits, he's going to be really good. So I'm going to, if I had to lay money on it, I would go with the guy who seems to be a little bit more consistent and go with Cantlay.
Let me ask you this. The next one they've got listed on here is Jason Day and Gary Woodland. Seems like it should be an obvious Gary Woodland choice, but Gary Woodland doesn't have the best course history here. Jason Day's only played here twice, 23rd in what was the FedEx St. Jude Classic back in 2010, and then 40th last year in this very same event. But Gary Woodland, 55th last year, missed the cut a couple times here in the FedEx St. Jude Classic. So I don't know, Jason Day playing some better golf of late. Now, kind of like Tiger, you got to get 4 rounds out of Jason Day, but he and Gary Woodland as a matchup, I think, is pretty intriguing.
Yeah, I think so. Like we mentioned, Jason Day, he has found a little bit of form since, you know, in all of his back stuff, and still flares up. And for someone, you know, we joke about how there is no cut. If I'm making a head-to-head wager, I'm going for the guy who is at least seems apparently healthy. I mean, Day, he was could hardly pick the tee up out of the ground at the Memorial, and Woodland over the last couple weeks while they were both at Muirfield Village, he finished 5th and 22nd, so he's on a little bit of form there. And so yeah, I would lean towards Woodland on that bet, just because even though Day did go 4th and 7th the last two times he'd been out, hasn't finished better than 23rd, hadn't played here a whole lot, and with the back flare-ups could withdraw at any moment. I'm going with a guy who I feel like for sure going to get 4 rounds in an event that has no cut.
All right, let's do 2 more of these because these are kind of fun.
These are fun.
Bedlam. Bedlam matchup on my bookie. They've got Ricky Fowler matched up against Abraham Ancer. Ricky Fowler's a minus 120 favorite over Ancer, who's played much better golf since the restart, but he's not nearly as big of a name or as big of a guy. They're both pretty small. Ricky's about my size, and Abe's a little bit smaller. But Abraham Ancer, even money, playing better golf since the restart. I mean, everybody knows I love my guys from Stillwater. I love the Pokes, and I don't care much for that school in Norman, but Abraham Ancer's playing better golf since the restart than Ricky Fowler is, and you're getting even money.
He is, yeah. There's no really doubt about that. Ricky's been hit or miss. He missed since the restart, missed cut, 12th, 22nd, missed cut. So he's only made two of the five cuts since the restart, and just like I said, he's just so hit or miss. And whenever you're going for a bet like this, you want to go with the guy who, you know, obviously if they played this course 1,000 times, someone would win different, you know, each time. So I feel like if they did that, I think the more consistent guy in Ancer, who has been playing well here of lately, would win a few more times than that. But if Ricky catches a little bit of form, seems like he only played, last time we really felt like he played well was when he played in the match at Seminole, really. Yeah. And I mean, I know he finished 12th and 22nd. I feel like that he wasn't really ever in contention in those tournaments, or at least it didn't really feel like it. And I'm just going with a guy who has been playing a little bit better in Ancer, even though Ricky, if he does catch form, I do think could be up there. But if it was between the two, I would go with though you boy in Ancer.
All right, let's do one more. This one's pretty fun. Both at minus 110. So Vegas is telling us that these guys are just neck and neck. Colin Morikawa and Victor Hovland, the young guys.
Oh, man.
They're going to be tied together forever.
That's a very fun one.
Who are you taking in that head-to-head matchup, Morikawa or Hovland?
It's just
a tough decision.
It's just a gut feeling. I think, and what's interesting is, I believe, because the Barracudas this week as well, and this was the tournament Morikawa won last year at this time to be able to get into this event, essentially. So, I mean, obviously he's won since then and played well and has only missed one cut. And so, based off of that, I'm going to go with Morikawa, even though Hovland's been playing so well since he's come back. Didn't really play particularly well at the Memorial, end up making the cut, but finished 48th, but before that hadn't finished worse than 23rd in all the events that he's played. But I just feel like Morikawa's got that kind of that extra gear, even though he finished 48th at the Memorial, just like Hovland did. If I had to go pick between the two, Vegas does think they're pretty close. I would go with Morikawa between the two.
Go with Hovland because he went to Oklahoma State, so that pretty much narrows that down for me. Also, he's driving all over the country. Not a bad drive from Stillwater to Memphis. Probably 8, maybe 9 hours from Stillwater to Memphis. For Victor, I do know for sure that he came back to Stillwater after the Memorial and was hanging out at the house there, spending some time out at Karsten last week. So short drive over to Memphis for Victor Hovland. We've got a ton more to get into after the break. We need to take a break right quick. We're going to come back on the other side. I want to remind everybody before we go to break, give Bushwood a call down in Chickasha, 405-224-1250. Max doing great things down there. Tuesday night scramble, Thursday night horse race, a bunch of fun events that they're putting on. You can rent out the pool. You got a birthday party, something like that. Rent out the pool out there at Bushwood. Everyone will have a great time. So we're going to take a break, come back on the other side. We've got our ideal DraftKings lineups. We've got favorite bets of the week, some more of these head-to-head betting type stuff. We've got our one-and-done picks and much, much more. Great field this week. We'll talk a little TPC Southwind on the other side as well. Stay with us here on the 73rd hole.
When something the size of a golf ball hits your roof, you need to call McRae Roofing. McRae Roofing is Oklahoma's designer roofing service specialist. For years, Jeff McRae and the experienced team at McRae Roofing and Exteriors have served fellow Oklahomans by helping them with their roofing needs. McRae Roofing uses only top quality materials and professional crews to make sure that each job is done right, so it will give you the years of service, security, and protection you need from the unpredictable Oklahoma weather. McRae Roofing offers residential and commercial roofing, ventilation services, and custom copper designs. McRae Roofing is dedicated to exceeding the homeowner's expectations. It's not just a roof, it is your home's crowning glory. Call McRae Roofing today at 405-692-4000. That's 405-692-4000. Make sure to also visit their website at mcraeroofing.com. That's M-C-R-A-Y roofing.com. Don't get caught with a leaking roof. Contact McRae Roofing for your free inspection today.
Welcome back to the 73rd hole, rolling along here on a Tuesday, getting you ready for the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational this week at TPC Southwind in Memphis. Taylor, TPC Southwind in Memphis. Shade under 7,300 yards, 7,238. Actually, it's a par 70. Hosted the FedEx St. Jude Classic for 30 years prior to being elevated to the WGC host. Of course, this is the tournament that came over from Firestone in Akron. Bridgestone was the sponsor. Bridgestone is headquartered in Akron. Whenever FedEx became the title sponsor of this event, they obviously wanted to move it to Memphis, where they have their headquarters. So, you ever been to Memphis?
Never have. I know that you went a little bit back to go to the zoo and see the pandas.
Yeah, a lot of fun. We went down, went to the National Civil Rights Museum. That was really cool. Hung out on Beale Street a couple nights. That was a lot of fun. And my wife and I love pandas, and that's one of the four zoos in the country that have pandas. So we went to Memphis and checked that out. The barbecue, oh man, I'm telling you. If any of these guys go out, if next week we're sitting here and we're like, man, this guy just inexplicably played bad, it's because he could not swing around his stomach because he was going out getting ribs and barbecue pulled pork nachos from Central Barbecue every night. And it is out of this world.
That is definitely something to try to predict in the handicap, and we just don't know who has the discipline and who doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, John Rahm, is he a rib guy? I don't know. Is Rory a rib guy? There's really no way to know. And then, you know, do you... proper hand washing and everything. You still got a little bit of sauce on the fingertips. Could be a problem.
It could be. We need to look at their whoop info. That'll tell us.
The whoop info.
That's what we need. That's what we need to get this figured out.
See, these are the X factors. This is the kind of stuff you have to consider.
Yeah. If we reflect back on our younger years of algebra, those variables where they put those letters where numbers were supposed to be, and we'd have to figure it out, and it was just a real pain in the ass. That's what we're talking about here. These are the variables that go into the equation that we figure out from week to week. And you try to prognosticate the best that you can.
Yeah, we need to come up with some sort of algorithm to determine who is going to spend too much time at the barbecue joint and not enough time at TPC Southwind. I wonder, they might have to do delivery. I don't even know if they're allowed to go to the restaurant themselves.
That's a good point. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
You got the bubble.
You
got to be in the bubble. Taylor Gooch yesterday tweeted out, looking forward to getting back to Oklahoma, get away from the bubble for a week, recharge the battery. So, by the way, we'll give you our picks for the Barracuda Championship coming up as well. That's in Lake Tahoe?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Lake Tahoe, right on the California-Nevada border.
Correct. Yeah, I think it leans, according to the address of the course, it reflects on the California side of it. So technically a California event.
Yeah, pretty good field for an opposite field event. A lot of good names at the Barracuda. So we'll give you the breakdown for that as well. Why don't we get into some of our DraftKings picks this week for the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational at TPC Southwind in Memphis. I feel pretty good this week. Last week, I thought I was mostly guessing. I didn't feel very good last week. It was a weak field trying to figure out which of these random guys are going to pop. This week, I felt like it was a little easier to handicap. So why don't we start on the cheaper end of things, and I'll get us started at 6,500 with a guy who, since 2016-17, has 15 top 10s with no wins. The reason I know that is because we talked about Tony Finau yesterday and his 30 top 10s with no wins he now has since the 16-17 season. And that's Ben On. Plays a lot of good golf, finds himself up in leaderboards pretty often, but doesn't really win. So you don't hear that much about him, and often he doesn't get a lot of credit, which gives him pretty good value in DraftKings. 6,500 this week. Ben On's my cheapest guy.
Yeah. He's definitely, like you mentioned, has all the top 10s for his career and has flown under the radar for the majority of his career. But since the return from action, has missed three of the five cuts of the events that he's played, hasn't finished better than 46. So, but we see it all the time where guys play bad and then they turn it around because either they avoid the barbecue place or they switch putters, whatever it may be.
No cut event, play a little more free.
And that's the thing. That's kind of how I'm structuring my lineup here, because unless someone withdraws, you're getting four rounds out of them. So I'm looking for guys who looking for a little bit of value, because I'm going to go for some top heavy guys who I think have a chance to win the tournament, and then down below pick some guys who I think will make birdies. So I got two guys at 6,700 that I like. One of them is your close personal friend, Colby Matt Wallace, who you watched at the Pebble Beach. And
Matt,
so,
if you're listening, we wish you the best of luck this week.
Yeah. So since his last three events, finished 12th at the Rocket Mortgage, 39th at Workday, and then 4th at Memorial. So guy who last year, who I mentioned quite a few times, felt like was the most underrated player in the world, looks like he's finding a little bit of form, and that's really good value. And I believe he finished 27th or something along those lines here last year. So doesn't have horrible didn't play horrible last year when he played here, so I'll go with him. And my other guy is 6,700, a guy who's been playing pretty well as well and has a little bit of better track record here, is Ches Reavie. So since the return, has played five events, missed the cut at the very first Charles Schwab. Since then, 74, barely made the cut at RBC, then 46, but then has improved twice, 17th at Workday and then 22nd at Memorial. Another guy, pretty good value for someone who has had some good performances the last couple of weeks.
So yeah, I like that pick a lot. And it's funny, I was listening to PGA Tour Radio yesterday, and Gravy and the Sleaze, Colton Ost, is on there, and he said that he plays with Ches Reavie quite a bit. I think in the Scottsdale area is where they're out of. And he said that Ches Reavie spends and wastes more time than any other player on the tour in tinkering with equipment. He said that Ches Reavie basically every day is testing out new drivers. Every day.
That's awesome.
Trying to get a little bit more distance, and then every Thursday it's the same one in the bag. Yeah. But he's always testing out drivers. He said that they'll play on a Monday, and Ches will go out, he'll hit 14 of 14 fairways, 17 of 18 greens, shoot 64. They'll come back to play the next day. He's got 14 new clubs in the bag. New irons, new wedges, different putter, different woods, totally different brand of driver, just tinkering, after he's playing those clubs great. He said that Ches Reavie is the ultimate tinkerer when it comes to equipment.
That is pretty intense if you're doing it every single day for someone like that. But hopefully he's found the right combination in equipment and doesn't make any changes for what he has done, because 17, 22nd, his last two events, pretty good.
Yeah, based on the way Colton Ost was talking yesterday, I would imagine that today he's probably in Memphis testing out drivers, always trying to find a little more distance, and then he'll have the same one in the bag on Thursday.
Yeah, you might as well. It doesn't hurt to try it. Just don't, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly, no doubt about it. So, all right, that's your first two. So I've got another one in the 6,000s. This is a guy that I said was going to be a big risk this week because he's had some course success, but not a lot of good golf over the last few weeks. In a cutless event, it is the perfect time to take Phil Mickelson on the cheap. I mean, it is just the perfect time. He's not going to miss the cut. Maybe he gets hot. Obviously, the guy knows how to win. He's done it, 45 times in his career? So give me Phil at 6,600. That is just so cheap for Phil Mickelson, one of the greats to ever play the game. And again, if there was a cut this week, I probably wouldn't pick Phil. But no cut, give me Phil at 6,600. Needed to go cheap so I can afford some other guys. Then my third pick at 7,200, guy coming off a really good performance after not playing his best golf since the restart, is Max Homa. At 7,200, I need another guy a little bit cheaper in that range because I think my next least expensive guy is in the mid-nines. So I went with Max Homa at 7,200 to keep myself with three cheap golfers. Then I can go a little more expensive with my final three. So that's my first few picks.
I think you and me have a very similar philosophy there. And, you know, we're acting like Phil's playing, you know, extremely horrible golf. Since the return, he's made three of the four cuts that he's played in. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like that he's, even before he had missed three cuts in a row or whatever it was to start the season, finished third in at Saudi Arabia and at Pebble. So was playing a little bit of good form, but then was playing so bad there right before the break. But definitely you're right. He doesn't have his best stuff, but you are getting Phil on the cheap this week in a cutless event on a course that he has had success on. So, I mean, it's a formula there that seems like it could be success, but we all know that Phil can be a wild card to say the least. My next cheapest guy who I like a lot of different weeks, just feel like he's an underrated guy. Kind of the Matt, I was like mentioned Matt Wallace was underrated last year. I feel like this guy is very similar. And that's my boy. I want to make sure I pronounce it right. Christian Bezuidenhout.
Bezuidenhout.
Yep, there you go.
Christian Bezuidenhout.
You got it. 6,800 came back, was a little bit hit or miss, has played in four events, missed the cut, Charles Schwab 28th at RBC Heritage Harbor Town, missed the cut at Rocket Mortgage, then finished 22nd at the Memorial in pretty tough conditions. And I think that the St. Jude, while the winning score Koepka last year was 16 under, T12 was 6 under. So it goes to show that they can set up the course fairly tough if they want to. And hopefully, I feel like that they will set it up tough. So a guy who played his last event that he played pretty well in tough conditions. I'll go with that for a guy on the cheap. And then my next most expensive is a guy who's played pretty well these last couple weeks, especially, is Billy Horschel. So I think that over the last...
Billy Ho, that's horses for courses.
Yes, it is. Yeah, he finished 13th and 7th. The last two events I played, both of them were at the Memorial. And then for his course history, he has played pretty well here. He's finished, has not missed a cut, finished 9th last year, then finished 51st, but then has four other finishes in the top 10.
Are you looking at the overall for this WGC, or are you looking at the FedEx St. Jude results?
I think it's the FedEx St. Jude.
Okay, yeah, yes. That's the one I've got. So he's played it 5 times since 2014, and all 5 of those times he's played it since 2014, I'm showing him in the top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's horses for courses with Billy Ho. So
yeah. So, and for a guy who's finished top 13 in his last 2 events, I'm going to roll with that. 8,500 seems like pretty good value.
Deerfield Village. Yes. 7th at the Workday, 13th at the Memorial.
Yeah. In really tough conditions. Similar, like I mentioned with Bazen Hoot, tough conditions, finished 13th. Yep. So obviously playing pretty well. It seems like he's found something a little bit to click. So another guy who's played well here, looks like he's finding something. I'm rolling with that.
Let me give you my next cheapest guy at 9,600. I'm jumping from 72 to 96. 3 cheap, 3 expensive. A guy who loves this golf course. One here in 2017, one here in 2018 when it was the FedEx St. Jude Classic. Daniel Cheeseburger, playing good golf since the restart. He had that long streak of under par rounds going before, obviously, the conditions at Memorial jumped up and grabbed him. But with his course history at 9,600, I had to jump on Daniel Berger. And then my second most expensive guy is at 9,900, and that is Webb Feet Simpson, who has a chance to take the lead in the FedEx Cup this week if he were to win and get those 550 FedEx Cup points. I just love the way Webb's been playing. He consistently gives himself chances to be on the leaderboard at the end of the week. He likes this golf course, played well here last year. So give me Webb having a great season. I think he's got a chance to contend.
Yeah, you know, we mentioned, you know, with no cut and for a DraftKings lineup, you're looking for guys who are going to be able to make birdies, and Webb leads the tour this year in birdie or better percentage. So I think you're looking at pretty solid.
Isn't that crazy? Pretty, no further than he hits it.
It just goes to show there's so many different ways that you can play the game.
Yeah.
You can play
it's
the
a game of precision.
It is. So is it my pick now?
It is. Give me two more.
So I got my two more. My second most expensive guy we brought up earlier in the show, just love. I think I'm getting him pretty cheap on value. I mean, I believe he is the 5th most expensive guy on DraftKings. Fifth most expensive, but a guy is just so consistent, like we were talking about earlier, Patrick Cantlay at 10,100. It's hard for me to pass up on him. I know he's $200 more than your Webb Simpson pick, debating between the two like we were earlier. I'm leaning towards Cantlay, and I'll go with him. Obviously, both them great players could go out, and even Schauffele and Tyrrell Hatton are both right below him with your Cheeseburger. So a lot of guys around there in that area who I think will have great weeks, but I'm going with Cantlay out of that group.
Okay, very nice. At 10,100, a guy I really like this week, we debated, you know, who's going to have a better week, Webb Simpson or Patrick Cantlay, and I just couldn't decide. So I took them both. Yeah. Patrick Cantlay rounds out my lineup at 10,100. Doesn't miss cuts. 10 of 10 on the year. So I've got Cantlay and Webb. I think that gives me a pretty good chance.
Okay, so that's all 6 of yours?
That's all 6 of mine.
All right, then my last one is second most expensive guy on DraftKings, and it's just another guy I just don't feel like is going to miss the cut and has played well here last year is Rory. I just going to bomb it around the track. Doesn't look like he's had quite his A game since the return. Obviously, we mentioned the Sunday woes a few times, but he did finish T4th here last year, and he did shoot over par on the weekend to do that. Shot 71 after a 62 on Saturday, which was very, very impressive. So Rory will round out my lineup at 11,200.
Yeah, there were a lot of guys that I couldn't include because you've only got 6 guys and you're on a salary. But, you know, last week at 3M, I felt like, gosh, I've got to find 6 guys to fill out a lineup this week. This is going to be taxing. And this week, I mean, I felt like there were, you know, another 7-8 guys that I really liked this week that I just couldn't fit into my lineup. So we'll see if any of those guys pop. But I feel confident with what I've got. But, I mean, I think that there are a lot of guys who have a chance to contend and win the golf tournament this week, mostly household names. I don't think that this is a week where we're going to see, I don't even know. Like, I've got Ben On in my lineup, but I don't think Ben On is going to win the golf tournament. This isn't going to be like a JT Poston Wiesberger week. This is going to be a big name, I think, is going to win this week. So with all the big names that are in the field, that doesn't really narrow it down. You got any value plays for us, guys, that we don't have in our lineup, but that maybe somebody else should if they want to piece something together, maybe get somebody a little bit lower if they want, maybe your Rory or a Rahm, somebody like that. Because with all the big names in the field, if you're wanting to roster these guys on DraftKings, you're going to have to find some value a little bit lower on in the field, in the sixes and the sevens, especially. So I know I gave out a couple with Ben On, Phil Mickelson, and Max Homa. You had a couple down there in the 6,700 range, Matt Wallace and company. So who else do you have? Give the listeners some value if they want to roster some expensive guys.
Yeah, so go down here on some of the cheaper guys. A guy at 6,600 who's been playing fairly well, Brendan Todd. He was up there in the lead at the Travelers, faltered a little bit down the stretch there.
That's who I debated between him and Phil.
Yeah,
and went with Phil.
They're the exact same price, kind of getting a little bit of both with you. So, yeah, we're definitely going off the names that we haven't given you yet. So, yeah, I would like him in that range as well. Okay, and going down a couple other guys, another guy who wouldn't mind picking is Keegan Bradley, who's made his last three cuts this obviously is event with no cut, so I think that he would be a guy who is at least playing somewhat decent good golf and might be able to get you some birdies up there and that type of thing. Finished 25th back here in 2011, and last year finished 61st, so not an extremely great value, but at the same time still has a little bit of talent and is pretty on the cheap. And let's see here, a couple more other guys. Cameron Champ at 6,200. He hasn't been playing very well, but for a guy who hits it so long, was playing really well the two events before his last two that he played.
He's 6,200?
6,200.
Wow, yeah. I guess I didn't even... I scrolled down to the bottom, but I guess I scrolled right past his name. I don't know that it would have changed what I did, but man, 6,200 for a guy who can, you know, get in the 190s ball speed in a cutless event. There's some value.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. And then at 6,200, same price before I picked him in the one and done, he was playing really great. And maybe it was just because it was at Memorial, a course that doesn't suit him very well. His last two events, Joel Damon, 6,200. He might be a guy on the cheap who you can roster if you want to. And then
he was going for like 7,600 before he had just a few bad weeks.
Exactly.
So his value has dropped immensely over the last month.
Yeah, you can definitely get him on the cheap for sure. And that kind of rounds it out. I think I agree with you, Colby. I think this is a week where one of these big names goes out there and wins it. I think it's going to be, it could be anywhere from the Rahms, the Rorys, DeChambeaus, Thomas to, you know, all the way down. I think I'm a big Hatton guy. I think Hatton has a good chance to win. Daniel Cheeseburger, who we'll get into our one and done picks here in just a second, and I'll go ahead and kick that off if we want to. Daniel Cheeseburger will be one of my one and done picks this week with WGC events. So we're picking two, and then we're going to have a Barracuda pick. So we actually have three picks this week. So they're could be a lot of implications that change this week, especially with 1.7 going to the winner as well.
Yeah, big time. If I pick winner runner up, which I'm kind of planning on doing this week, actually I'm not, because I'm not running out Rory, who if it was not a one and done pool where I was saving Rory for something else, that's who I actually think is going to win the golf tournament this week, but I'm not willing to use him in the one and done because I want to save him, because if I'm wrong, I don't want to have burned him at this tournament and not have him going forth the rest of the season, because our season long one and done that we do, we've got like major segments that if you just pick the guys who do best in the majors, you get some money for that. So I'm probably saving Rory for a major championship. Might save him for Augusta in November. But I really like, you know, looking at the betting odds this week, Rory McIlroy at 12-1. I don't usually play the favorites, but I think Rory will be one of my plays this week at 12-1. I love Rory McIlroy's game, and I think that we could very well be sitting here next Monday looking at Rory McIlroy as the winner of this golf tournament. But after that, I'm wanting to go down and find some value whenever I'm looking at guys to bet on. I like Berger. I've got him in my DraftKings. I'm not going to bet on him, even though he's 28-1. He's already won since the restart. It's really tough for me to pick a guy who doesn't win that often to win for a second time in 2 months in a field that has 45 of the top 50 in the world there. So I'm probably going to stay away from Daniel Berger. I know this guy struggled. I'm going to bet Brooks Koepka this week. I'm going to do it on the simple, sole basis of he's hitting the ball really well. Gained 5 strokes on the field on Thursday and Friday last week on his way to a missed cut. He grinds more on bigger events. He's the defending champion. He's a guy that we know at events and courses that he likes, he can go out and win back-to-back. Back-to-back defending PGA Championship champion, obviously not at the same courses, but still kind of the same theory there. Won a couple U.S. Opens in a row. Whenever he gets comfortable at a venue or at a type of event, I think you can expect good things from Brooks Koepka. And again, at 33-1, I just can't pass up that value. So I'll be betting Brooks Koepka at 33-1. And as much as I sit here and talk about the guy not being able to close golf tournaments and not being able to win, Tony Finau is on too good a form to not play him at 35-1. I mean, if he's 22-1, maybe I don't play him this week because he struggles to close. But at some point, he's going to close a golf tournament. And I know I say that you have to hate yourself to bet Tony Finau on a Tuesday, knowing that you're really going to hate yourself Sunday evening. But I have to do it. 35-1, that's too steep of odds on a guy who's playing some of the absolute best golf in the world right now. So I'm just going to bet Finau and hope that this is the week that he pieces it all together, which there's a little bit of faith being displayed in Tony Finau, but you got to do what you
got
to do.
Yeah, you got some faith there in Finau and your Koepka pick as well. You're just trying to go for the value, and I like that because these are two guys who, like we were talking about earlier, if they just catch form with how far they can hit it and just get the putter rolling, then they can go out and win. And obviously, Koepka has a really good track record here. Maybe he spent the last weekend, since he didn't get to play, going back and figuring out his putting to where he's not missing 3 and 5 footers, and he might have it figured out. So, and I remember earlier this year, we saw Koepka was 25-1, and we were like, oh man, we're not going to be able to get him at that value the rest of the year. And now all of a sudden he's 33-1 on a course where he's the defending champion now.
Yeah, we were talking about Joel Damon, how much his value's dropped in DraftKings over the last month. A guy whose value has plummeted since the restart, and I'm not going to play him this week because he's not playing very good golf right now. But if you would have told me a couple of months ago that at any point the rest of the PGA Tour season, I could get Sungjae Im at 90-1.
Holy moly, 90?
Actually, you know what? I might throw $10 on it just because it's a little bit ignorant that Sungjae Im is 90-1.
We talk about how he hadn't been on form, and that just goes to show right there. I mean, obviously, it's a stacked field and a lot of great players in it, but still, someone who was on one of the best players in the world before the break happened. So for him to be that far down just goes to show that he's not clicking on not even all cylinders, not even half a cylinder. Really.
He's got worse odds than Kevin Streelman. Kevin Streelman's 80-1.
Yeah, and Kevin Streelman's another guy who I didn't mention on my value play. He's 6,900. He might be a decent guy for you to throw out there, kind of in that lower to mid tier guy. But yeah, just goes to show that he has lower odds than Kevin Streelman, who I don't think would win the tournament. Who I don't think is going to win the tournament, but may be up there. But Sungjae Im, a guy who was a top 10 machine just a few tournaments ago, I guess would be the phrase, since it was before the hiatus.
Yeah, no doubt about it. By the way, a lot of rain this week in the state of Oklahoma. You got your junior camp going on down at Bushwood. I know people are going to be trying to play some golf, and definitely go down to Bushwood if you want to get a tee time. But all the rain this week, you've got a leaky roof. Go ahead and give our friends at McRae Roofing a call. 405-692-4000. Jeff McRae, locally owned and operated, friend of the show here on the 73rd hole. Really treats your roof like a canvas. It's a creation. It's a masterpiece. So give McRae Roofing a call. Check them out. McRaeRoofing.com. Again, 405-692-4000. That is McRae Roofing. Give them a call. You will not be disappointed. So, Taylor, we got to our one and done picks because what were our standings at right now? Let me pull this up. I had Bryson, obviously, so I'm still going to have the lead because I had the winner. It was really easy to do the math from last week to this week since we both took Lucas Glover.
0 + 0 = 0.
Yeah, 0 + 0 = 0. So I'm sitting at 1.41 million. You're at 412K, so pretty much right at a million behind, but that, you know, sounds like a lot. It's really not, especially since we're picking three golfers this week. So let's start at the Barracuda, which actually has a pretty good field. You're looking at a two-time major champion in Martin Keimer. Wait, is he two-time major champion? Or
yes.
Yeah, so, and he's one of players.
Yes, yeah. Correct. Wow. Yep, one of the players. Yep, one of the
two-time major champion.
Won the 2010 PGA and the 2014 U.S. Open, and I don't remember what year he won the players.
I think the players was in 2015, I remember, it was the year after he won the U.S. Open.
It was somewhere around that mark. Yeah,
we got Siwoo Kim, Brandon Grace, Sebastian Munoz, Brandon Steele, Ryan Moore, Charlie Hoffman, Pat Perez, Emiliano Grillo, Robbie Shelton finished third last week, Christopher Ventura, an Oklahoma State Cowboy that we've talked about, Russell Henley, multi-time tour winner in the field this week, Kevin Tway, a guy we talked about yesterday trying to find his game, is in the field. So one and done for the Barracuda. You want to lead us off? You want me to? I've got a strong pick this week.
I do too. I'm actually going with two because we do our big pool and then our podcast pool. So I'll have two different picks because the guy I'm using in our podcast pool, I used in our big pool earlier in the year. Okay. So the guy that I'm using in our podcast pool is Alexander Norn, who is a guy who I used him earlier in the year at Puerto Rico, another opposite field event where he missed the cut. I thought he was starting to click and then he ended up not clicking. So, but he did finished, he was one of the many of people to finish tied third yesterday at the 3M. So I'll go ahead and run him out, a guy who I at least know has played good the week before the event. And then, but for my, for the big one and done pool that we do, since I've already used Norn, I'm going to go with Brendan Steele, who is, I, he's up there in the odds. I think he's one of the top four or five betting favorites in the tournament. Last three events he's played, finished sixth at the Travelers, made the cut, finished 52nd at the Workday, then finished 13th at the Memorial. So a guy who's on pretty good form, I'll go ahead and run him out in the big pool.
Yeah, let me see if I can pull up the full list of odds for the Barracuda Championship. I don't have it anywhere.
I had it earlier while you're making your picks.
I've got the WGC here. So I'm going with a guy who is just an absolute ball striking machine, but for whatever reason, he hasn't been able to get it done. Everything hasn't clicked, but I think in a field that's a much weaker field where he doesn't feel like he's having to chase down the Roms and Rorys of the world, I think this is a guy who has shown that he can win on the PGA Tour. I'm going to take a flyer on Russell Henley this week. Really good ball striker. Whenever you're looking at strokes gained, tee to green, second in the field this week. Only Emiliano Griot is higher. I thought about Griot, but I kind of wanted to use the same guy in both pools, and I think I used Griot earlier this year in an opposite field event in our big pool, and I like using the same guys. Just keeps it simple in my limited brain space that I have. So I'm running out Russell Henley this week.
Yeah, I got the odds pulled up. He is actually the second favorite at 18-1 this week.
Okay, so who's the favorite?
Ryan Moore, 16-1.
Really?
Is the favorite.
Okay. Yep.
And then my Brendan Steele is 22-1. My Alexander Norton is 25-1. Also 25-1 is Patrick Rogers.
Where's Brandon Grace at?
We have four guys at 28-1. Sam Burns, Bud Cauley, Matthias Schwab, and Johnny Vegas.
Give me Grace and Keimer.
Keimer's 33-1. I kind of like Keimer this week. And Grace was the other one?
Yeah, Brandon Grace.
33-1 as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, the two other guys. This is just Keimer's first event since the hiatus, and you just never know what the form will be. Like, I considered picking Keimer, but I feel like the other two guys have just been playing and have shown a little bit of form.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm all good there. Let's move on to the main event, shall we? The main event in Memphis. I'll go ahead and give my first pick, a guy that we talked about earlier, a horse for the course. Give me Billy Ho this week.
Okay.
Give me Billy Ho. Not a huge name. Neither one of the names that I'm running out are huge, huge names this week. But they're both guys that are playing good golf and have played good golf here. Both top 10 here last year. One of those is Billy Ho. He's also coming off consecutive top 15 finishes, pardon me, at Muirfield Village. Last five times he's played at this course, he's finished in the top 10. So I'm going to go with a little bit of value, save some of the bigger names for the majors. I really want to run those guys out at the major championships and maybe in the playoff events as well. So give me Billy Ho for my first pick. Chomp chomp.
Okay. I like it. Yeah, Florida Gator. And I mentioned one of my other picks earlier. I will be using both of the same in the big pool and the podcast pool because they were both available. So my first pick mentioned earlier would be Daniel Bacon Cheeseburger. Just such a horse for courses guy. Was playing really well before the Memorial. And I think that this is a week to run him out because kind of like you, Colby, I've used some bigger names earlier in the year. So I want to go ahead and save who I have left for the majors, those purses where the winners get over 2 million as opposed to 1.7. That extra 300K can add up to be a lot at the end of the season.
Yeah, and then you got to figure the Tour Championship as well with the goofy format where somebody's starting at 10
absolutely
under par or whatever you're doing. Five. I don't remember what the score is that the guy starts at, but you want to have a big name for the Tour Championship.
Yes, because in our big pool, and I'm assuming we'll do it the same, it's, what is it, 10%? No, 20% or whatever it is, because the last year if you won 15 million was 3 million. So, yeah, 20%. No, 10%. God, why am I?
20%.
Yeah. Got saying, whenever you're just thinking off the top of your head, it's hard to do math. And so.
There's still, the point is, there is still really big money to be had. So don't feel like you have to jump the gun this week just because it's a WGC. If you really love one of the big names, run them out. But if not, find you some value in the one and done like I think I've got with Billy Ho. And you said Burger, you're taking him in both pools?
Burger in both pools. And then my other pick in both pools, I have a feeling it might be the same one because you said they finished both in the top 10 here last year. Ooh. So it might be. And my guy's been playing well since the return, four or five on made cuts. When he has made the cut, hasn't finished worse than 32nd. Finished third last tournament he played at the Memorial. So give me Matthew Fitzpatrick.
God, did... How do we do this again? Everybody in this field, all the names in this field, and we both run out Matty Fitz.
We did it again. We need to abort mission.
We can't abort now.
Matty
Fitz is screwed.
He doesn't have a chance. So if Bones is still on the bag, I don't think he is, but we got to get a hold of Bones to let him know. Sorry, Matt, you're screwed, buddy.
I hate that you ran out Matthew Fitzpatrick this week. I mean, I felt so good about it until like 15 seconds ago.
It is literally the kiss of death. Literally.
Pick him.
Yeah.
If it's one or the other, it's like, you know, maybe not. But if we both pick the guy, gosh, we did it last week with Lucas Glover. Miss the cut.
He might withdraw at this point.
He's going to sprain his wrist on Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah.
No, because then we'd be able to replace it. He's going to sprain his wrist on Thursday morning.
Thursday morning on the third hole.
On the range.
Yeah. that is the luck on the one and done it has been. So, but I guess we got to do what we got to do.
I guess dueling Matty Fitz is this week in the one and done. Oh, we still got the Barracuda where we differ. And we made two picks. So, yeah, Billy Ho and Matty Fitz for me and then Daniel Berger and Matty Fitz for you. So, should be a good event this week. So, I said that if there were no one and done, nothing like that, if I was simply not looking for value, I was just picking the guy who's hoisting the trophy on Sunday evening. I think this is the week that Rory kind of snaps out of this little Sunday woes thing that he's got going on and gets it done. If you're not looking for value, I'm just asking you who hoists the trophy Sunday evening. Who would be your one pick to do it?
It's tough to go against that. Like we had mentioned, I think it's going to be a big name that wins it. If I had to bet, I can't copy you because it's a kiss of death. It'd be Rory. Rom just came off of a win. I don't think that he'll win in his first event being number one in the world. I'm looking at either JT or DeChambeau. Just one of those guys who, if they just catch fire, they're just going to go out and run away with it. But also too, I like Cantlay's chances too.
Yeah, so, it'd be the first time that we've seen Bryson since his little Roy McIlvoy 10 cup moment / temper tantrum with his ball being out of bounds. So it'd be interesting to see how he rebounds because he was, you know, he was Mr. Hot Commodity on the PGA Tour. And then it all went very, very wrong on the 15th hole at the Memorial on Friday. So it'd be interesting to see how he rebounds after having to go through the 10, the spat with the rules official that got him some attention for a few days. Because, you know, Babe Bryson, he's been able to hit a long way. Par 70, so maybe not taking as much advantage of par fives, but he's still playing good golf despite the one bad hole that he had at the Memorial.
Yeah, and it's just, whenever you think a big name's going to win, just I'm looking for those guys who just have that extra gear, like we said, the Rorys and the, you know, I'm throwing Rom out just because he won last time, and DJ's been playing so bad, and obviously you kind of feel a little bit more bullish on Koepka than I do this week.
It's just the value on Koepka. Again, I love Koepka's value, but I'm not sitting here. He wouldn't be my one pick this week to hoist the trophy.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. I think it's going to be someone in the top 20 in the world that wins.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think the top 8 are in the field, and I know 45 of the top 50. So should be a great tournament this week. John Rahm, first tournament as world number one, which still feels a little odd to me, but I mean, hey. 8-10 strength of field 2 weeks ago. He gets the job done, gets it done at Muirfield Village in a pretty big way, an 8-shot lead at one point on Sunday. So great event this week, and I can't wait to recap it next Monday. And then it is major championship week. TPC Harding Park next week. I am just geeked that major championship season is almost here.
I know. It seems like we've been waiting a long time. That we knew the Masters was going to be gone, then the U.S. Open, then they officially canceled the British Open. Everything else, luckily, has been postponed. And for them to be able to have the tournament in general, but let alone have it in California, there was a long time where we didn't think they'd be able to have it at Harding Park. So it's really cool that they're going to be able to get to have it there. And hopefully, I mean, we root for a lot of different golfers depending on betting implications, but hopefully the big cat is hoisting number 16 in a couple weeks.
Yeah, no doubt. Passing Sam Snead at a major would be big time. And by the way, can we just give a little golf clap to the game of golf and the PGA Tour for how responsible all of the players have been, the broadcasters, everybody, the testing and the COVID and everything, really since the Travelers has been a non-story. And we see how difficult it is to do as we've watched what happened with Major League Baseball over the last couple of days and the Miami Marlins outbreak and, you know, potential spread to other teams and a bunch of games having to be canceled. Shout out to the PGA Tour and all of its players, caddies, everyone involved for being responsible, doing what needs to be done to make sure that these tournaments go off without a hitch week in, week out. I think in the current state of things with professional sports, collegiate sports, whatever you want to look at in America, for the PGA Tour's return to play to be as seamless as it's been is really impressive, and they deserve a ton of credit.
It really is. Like you mentioned, all the other sports have been having outbreaks or having concerns. You know, NBA had the Lou Williams thing, getting out of the bubble and all that
Magic
stuff.
City.
Yeah, exactly. So it could be a total hellstorm. But you're exactly right, Colby. Hit the nail on the head. It is fantastic, and hopefully the trend continues to stay positively, and we don't have any more players come out with testing positive for this horrible virus, or anyone in their families forcing them to withdraw a cat. Media members, whoever may be on site, and really just anyone in the world, really. You know, obviously we don't want anyone to get it, but you're exactly right. The protocols, everything, they were able to adapt once they realized, you know, people were getting tested, so they changed their policies up. So it was, you know, they kind of admitted they weren't doing things right. You learn from your mistakes, and things have been better since then. So hopefully it can continue going that way, and you know, we can continue to see these great fields that we're having.
Yeah, huge round of applause to the PGA Tour. Everyone, enjoy this week's World Golf Championship event. Give Bushwood a call, 405-224-1250. Make your tee time. You can watch some great golf and play some great golf this week. We're back next week. It'll be major championship week, and we'll be recapping the hoisting of a World Golf Championship event trophy. That's coming up next week. Thanks for listening once again to the 73rd Hole.